Bibles now to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now we will be looking at verses 12 through 15 this evening. We'll read by way of review from verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance, as far in the Word of God. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we pray that thou wouldst open the Word of life to our hungry hearts and that thou wouldst feed us according to thy sovereign will. We pray that thou wouldst lead us in the way everlasting that we may know thee to be our God. We pray that we may know the way of salvation and rejoice in it. Hear our prayer, undertake for the preaching of thy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, some people have very, very good memories. They can remember details. Some people have photographic memories and can remember far ago. My wife has a particular penchant for remembering dates, very good at remembering dates, but there's a problem as you get older and further removed from events in your past, you become a little less certain about how those things happen. And sometimes even my wife and I remember them just a little bit differently. So it just reminds you that your memories are not always very reliable. And if we can remember events, if we can remember numbers, we are often prone to forget spiritual truths, spiritual realities. And that has to do with our struggle against sin, the fact that we still have an old nature that is fighting to stay alive. We do have dominion over sin by the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, but the old nature is still fighting against us, wants to suppress everything that's spiritual and really focus just on the external. This morning we gathered at the Lord's table in remembrance of Christ. We did not remember an experience. We remembered an event in history. We remembered that Christ died for our sins. That death was necessary. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Jesus specifically said, "This do in remembrance of me," as if to imply, if you don't do this regularly, you're going to forget. It's going to slip away from your consciousness. It needs to be part of your fellowship to focus in on the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it was an awful day in history in one sense, and yet we prize that day because it purchased our redemption. It brought us near to God. It promises us heaven as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and renounce our sins. You read through the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament saints were continually forgetting. They always had to be reminded. In our authorized version, we have an interesting word. They forgot. Today we say they forgot, but it kind of catches your attention when you read it. They forgot. They forgot his deliverances, especially. Psalm 106, Psalm 107, there's this great memory loss. They had a great deliverance from the great nation of Egypt, but they kept forgetting, especially as, again, as history separated them from that time. So we want to look this evening when Peter writes these verses 12 to 15, three times he uses the phrase in remembrance. That verse 12, "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." The end of verse 13, "to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." And then again at the end of verse 15, "that after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." So he's saying you're prone to forget. You need to remember. You need to review. And that's a very important part of our memory, is reviewing, doing things over and over again. So I divided these into three points here. The first one is remember what you know from verse 12. The second is remember your mortality, verses 13 and 15, 13 and 14, and then remember when you have no reminders in verse 15. So Peter says, remember what you know. That seems kind of odd to remember what we already know, but we can do that, can't we? We can listen to something and agree with something all the way along. Yes, that's right. Yes, that's true. Yep, that's exactly right. And then when you talk to somebody and they say, "Well, what did that person say?" So, you know, I agreed with them all along, but I can't really remember the points that he was making. So it's one thing to know them, and you hear something, you know that those things are true. It's another thing to remember them, to be able to recite them, to be able to repeat them. The Apostle Peter sees this as his special task. "I will not be negligent." It's a very, very important thing to him. That "I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things." These things are the things that have gone before, the needfulness to furnish your faith, not just to be content with a saving faith, believing faith, but that it's furnished, that it's adorned with these other Christian graces. Now, the things that you need to furnish your faith, Peter says, you need to remember these things. And part of my job, part of my labor, is to keep you constantly reminded of these things, even though you already know them. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them." So I know that you know them, but you need to have them ingrained. You need to have them repeated to you. You need to know them better. You need to be reminded. We saw recently on Wednesday night, Paul's words in Philippians 3, verse 1, "to write the same things to you to me is indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." then he proceeds to warn them against the false teachers. I've told you before, I don't mind telling you again, for you it's safe. You need to be reminded that there are evil teachers out there. So repetition is a part of learning. John Calvin said, as we seem to distrust the memory, the apostle makes this modest excuse that he ceased not to press on the attention of the faithful what was well known and fixed in their minds because its importance and greatness required this. It's important and it's a great knowledge. It's important for you to know these things. And we can often think about how well we know something until we have to explain it to someone. Isn't that right? When you have to explain the way of salvation to someone, you realize sometimes there are things that are lacking. Maybe in your memory, maybe in your knowledge. Things that maybe somebody will ask concerning the gospel and they're not there ready at hand. I think that's one of the blessings of teaching very young children. It teaches you to keep things simple. So review is part of the process. If any of you have raised children, we know that review is part of the process. When one person asked the question, how long does it take to teach your child to make his bed? It's 20 years. Just has to be reminded constantly. And we tell our children, how many times do I have to tell you? Well, apparently one more time. So we use those expressions. It feels very repetitive to parents, but the child we're not getting through. Of course, to say exactly the same thing just becomes nagging, but to be instructive and to teach some repetition is a very good thing. And it is, isn't it? When you think back, we're all adults here, not being raised yet, but when you think back to your parents, you think of the things that they often repeated that stick with you, right? Oh, my dad used to say this, or my mom used to say that. Those are things that stick with you. They were a very good repetition. And he says, even though you already know them, and even though you are already established in the present truth. So he's saying, I'm not coming to you like kindergartners. We're not starting from scratch here. I know that you're established in the truth, but you need to be confirmed. You need to have that reminder to you. And the word for strengthen here, that you be established rather in the present truth, is the word strengthen, or we could use that word. The Greek word you might recognize, stērozō, where we would get our word steroids from, to strengthen, to build up. Stērozō, yeah. So this is a present truth. It's a truth that has come to you. Literally, the truth that has been presented to you. And the word there, again, is another Greek word that you may be familiar with it because it's connected to the word parousia. Have you heard that word? Parousia speaks of what? The coming of the Lord, the descending of the Lord. So he uses a similar word to say this truth has come to you. It didn't come from within you. And it didn't, in a sense, come from your teacher. It didn't come from the Apostle Peter. It came through the Apostle Peter from the Lord. It's very, very important to understand that we have the very Word of God. So it's a truth that has come to you, even though you are already strengthened in the truth that has come to you. You know these things, but you need to know them a little bit better. Isn't it true, beloved, that if you're not reading your Bible, you are forgetting what's in your Bible? It's important to have a systematic schedule to read through the whole Word of God. We're just coming to the conclusion of the schedule we put in our church bulletin. That was a 2-year schedule. We went through the Old Testament once, and I think the New Testament Psalms twice. So I'm not exactly sure what we're going to do for 2022, but I'm planning to do something in 1 year, which requires a little more effort and determination. But it is good to have that systematic time of Bible study, to be acquainted with the content of God's Word. If you're following the schedule that we're using right now, we are in Ezekiel. It's one of the passages that's very difficult to understand. I was glad that Elder Donnelly took us through Ezekiel a year or two ago. And some of those things have come back to me, but not all of them. There's just so many questions. And even in our Bibles or Sunday school class, we were a lot of things we just weren't able to resolve. It's not very definitive. But we read through it and know that it's God's Word. Whether I can explain it all, whether I can understand it all, God has given it to me. Maybe there'll be something that'll be useful in the days to come, but I need to be aware that this is God's Word. It's not as easy reading as the Gospels or as the epistles of John, but it is part of God's Word. So we need to read regularly, and beloved, you need to read widely. So if you don't have a systematic reading or schedule to read God's Word, you tend to go to your favorite passages. I should read the Bible before I go to sleep. So you pick up your Bible, let's see, and you go to your favorite passages, whatever has brought you comfort in the past. Very often you won't understand them aright because they're not in the context of the whole counsel of God. So it's good to take everything that God has for you. It's very challenging to know and read things that we are often uncertain about. We don't know exactly what to do with. So I encourage you even to prepare now to read through the Bible in the coming year, in 2022. Great. It always feels great on January 1st to start off. And then it kind of tends to level off a little bit, and we're not as enthusiastic about it. That's why it's a matter of good discipline. Martin Luther on this passage said, "To remind is to preach to those who already know and have heard it, to persist and to rouse them not to lose sight of it, but to continue and to make progress. We are all burdened with that old rotten sack, with our flesh and blood. It always chooses the wrong path and constantly pulls us down to its own level so that it is easy for the soul to go to sleep. Therefore, it is necessary to drive constantly and to persevere." Don't you love Martin Luther? You can just identify with Martin Luther. He's so honest about his struggle with sin. Who else would call it an old rotten sack? But when you read that, you say, yeah, that's exactly right. And did he have trouble with the flesh and blood always choosing the wrong path, constantly pulling us down to its own level? That's the Christian experience. It's not the hilltop experience that some people just go from Sunday to Sunday with by worship that ends up being entertainment. It's a real struggle with sin. We know we've made bad choices, but it's just amazing and remarkable to gather to worship the Christ who receives us anyway, puts us on the right path. We ask Him for wisdom, He gives. We ask without doubting, and He'll give a double portion. So we have great encouragement to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, to love and adore Him just for His covenant faithfulness to us. So remember what you know. There are many things that you already know. You need to remember them. I remember when I was in college, and there's one thing I remember. When I was in college, someone was showing the importance of studying, that if you sit in a class, you're taking notes, and you will remember these things, and they will kind of drop off. But if you go even that evening and review your class notes, you'll tend to remember them a little bit longer before it starts to drop off, and it won't drop off quite as rapidly. It's an interesting statistic, a psychological analysis of how the mind works. But review is very, very important. And as I mentioned before, again, you read through portions of the Bible that you think you're well acquainted with, and you come up with something like the 23rd Psalm, and you say, well, this is just, I already know this. Sometimes you're tempted to skip over it, but it's the Word of God. You read it again, maybe read it all the more intently and earnestly as you do so. And again, I encourage you to come to our Sunday school class. We're going through the Gospel of John. What precious truths there are. It's one of the most well-known Gospels, probably. And you just feel like, you know, when we come to the end of this, I wouldn't mind starting again and going through it all over again. There's so many wonderful truths, so many wonderful ways in which the Lord Jesus is glorified. It's beautiful to read it over and over again for all the jewels that it contains. So remember what you already know. Secondly, remember your mortality. Verse 13, Peter says, Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. It's very suitable for you. It's meet. It's appropriate for me to do this. He remembers his own mortality. And in the process of that, he's reminding you that you're mortal as well. You're going to come to an end. Your life is going to end one day. What does he refer to his body as? A tabernacle. The modern day word for tabernacle is tent. It's just a tent. Just a temporary dwelling place. We have this treasure, Paul says, in earthen vessels. They're going to decay. The body is going to decay, but it is a treasure that we hold. Our bodies get older. They become more infirm. Our memories do become weaker. We're reminded that our bodies need to be taken care of. And we realize that they will decay. You think of our sister Joan Schmidt, who just passed away last night, and she was undergoing treatments. Everything was looking good for her cancer, and then just a few days ago, she took a turn, a downturn, and just did not recover. So there's the mortality is something that we don't have any control over. So he says, while I'm in this body, I have an urgency to teach you these things. I can see the end of my days coming. And there's a sense of urgency. As you get more or closer to the end of your life, you look back and you say, I should have done more. I should have done better. I should have done this. And we're not to spend all our days in remorse, but there's a sense of urgency that we need to do things for the Lord. There are things that are left undone or unsaid that need to be taken care of before we leave this mortal body. So as you get older, it's a very common thing. And he will soon be led off to die, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. And we have that in the Gospel of John. Simon Peter says unto Jesus, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. A little more specifically, at the end of that's in John's 13:36, at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 21, when Peter is restored, he's denied the Lord Jesus, but Christ restores him by the lakeside. And he says to Peter, verily, verily, I say unto thee, When thou wast young, thou girdedst thyself, and walkedst whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. So the Lord gives to Peter, he doesn't give that to everyone, but he gives to Peter some indication of how he's going to be, how he's going to die. You're not going to go in your own strength. You're going to be led about. And the tradition that generally is accepted of Peter's death was that he was crucified for the gospel. He was sentenced to death. And when the time came for that to happen, he asked to be crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to die in the same manner as my Savior. So he did die a very cruel death, probably a little more difficult for being upside down, having all the blood rush to your head, but he knew that the day was coming. And he felt now, as he was writing this last or second epistle, he's feeling that day coming closer and closer. It's coming. And I need to get these messages out to you. The Lord Jesus Christ has showed me that I must shortly put off this, my tabernacle. And he understands that he doesn't have forever to do his work. That is good for us to be mindful of. We are mortal. We often live as though we are immortal. We, especially when we're younger, we think that the day of our demise is not going to come. We've got lots of time. And we are often sobered, extremely sobered, when young people are taken away. We remember that death is not equal. It's not reserved for old people. But it happens to many ages alike. So, beloved, remember that you are mortal. Remember that you're limited in your understanding of who God is. You're limited in your time upon the earth. That there are things that can be done now that cannot be done later. And then thirdly, in verse 15, remember when you have no reminders. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. He says, I want to do what I can now while I'm with you, so that you will remember them after I'm gone. He's teaching with the purpose and aim that they're going to remember when he's not there to constantly remind him. That's his desire. When I'm gone, what's going to happen? Well, I want you to continue in the faith. Of course, there are others. Not in this case. He's the apostles. The office of the apostle is a limited time office. It ended with the last of the apostles when they died. Likely, the apostle John was the last one, and after that. They worked, well, even while they were alive, they worked together with pastors of churches. They had a special office. They were very, of course, very pastoral. And there were pastors succeeding them. We think about that also in my own ministry. How much longer do I have, even in terms of a normal lifespan? These things are good things to consider. What's going to happen to this congregation when the Lord takes me away, whenever that might be. We don't know. But there are things to bear in mind. So there are things then that you ought to know and be aware of for when Peter says, when I'm no longer with you. Here's another interesting word. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease. Another Greek word that you may be familiar with is the word exodus, a departure. Remember, the book of Exodus is about how the Jews are exiting the land of Egypt. After I've gone, after I can no longer teach you, I want you to remember these things. I want you to go on. So we do often not remember people the way that we think that we will. And it's very, very interesting. When they're not around anymore, we don't even remember them so very clearly. It was interesting, although my mother had other problems with her memory, but she came to the point where after my dad had been gone for 15 or 20 years, she said, I can't even remember what he looks like. I can't, picture him in my mind. It was very, very interesting to hear her say that, because they had a good relationship. So that can happen, that these things just fade from memory. But the gospel is what needs to be remembered. Remember again the words of John Newton: as I get older, there are two things, even though my memory is failing me, he said, there are two things I will always remember. I am a great sinner and I have a great Savior. And those are the most precious things to remember. We have people with memory loss often. Those are the things that they remember. Covenant children who grow up and grow old, they remember Bible verses, they remember doctrines, they remember, they have favorite verses, favorite hymns. It's beautiful to see them remember these things. So again, this is the importance of having a disciplined Christian life. Regular Bible reading that is habitual and takes place at a regular time. It's part of your ongoing life. Reading good literature. Just spending time reading things that are worthwhile. And in one way that our culture has degenerated is that we tend to watch videos rather than read books. And reading is a very, very good discipline. And it's refreshing, it's relaxing. If you're reading the right thing, it puts perspective. And it reminds you, especially as I see our brother nodding his head there in agreement. If you read the Puritans, sometimes you think, oh man, they just had such a tough way of expressing things. But so often they were not. Think of John Bunyan, even a lot of John Calvin's work. Good translations will make it very, very readable and will profit your soul. Like we just read here from Martin Luther. Here's a man who understands what the Christian life is. He lived that life. He was boisterous. He was forward. There were a lot of things we might say, call them negative qualities, but you knew where he stood. And you can identify with a man like that. Very often you can say, there's a man who knew what the Christian life was all about. So it reminds you, the reason I mention that, it reminds you that the church is more than just 50 or 60 years old like I am. It goes back hundreds of years. And there were godly men back then who taught the Word of God, who lived the Word of God, who suffered for the truth, and were valiant for the truth. Very, very encouraging to read good literature. So, beloved, we need to remember to remember. Remember what you already know. Remember your mortality. And remember, even when you have no reminders, remind yourself of what faithful teachers have taught you. I want to close this evening with some wise words from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. The greatest and most vital thing in the world is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot live on memories. You cannot live on hopes. But on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can live always. What we must never forget is his sacrifice and his rising again. There, I say, is the fact that transforms every other fact, the fact of life. Yea, and thank God, the fact of death itself. In him, and in him alone, we have a true conception of man and a true conception of life. In him we triumph over death and the grave and have eternal and everlasting life. Beloved friends, these are the things to keep in remembrance. Let every other memory be sanctified by the memory of him who gave himself for us and rose again. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that our memories often fail us. Now we thank thee for the privilege of being reminded time and again that we are sinners and that we have a great Savior. We thank thee for thy faithfulness, thy perseverance with us. We pray, O Lord, that we may be mindful in reading the scriptures, that we may be purposeful in reading thy word. We ask that we may grow in grace, that we may have a full understanding as we furnish our faith with godly graces. Lord, hear our prayer. Remember us. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.